Good morning. Let's turn to 1 Kings chapter 9. Okay, 1 Kings 9. Now it came about when Solomon had finished building the house of the Lord and the king's house and all that Solomon desired to do, that the Lord appeared to Solomon a second time as he appeared to him at Gibeon. And the Lord said to him, I have heard your prayer and your supplication, which you have made before me. I have consecrated this house, which you have built, and by putting my name there forever. And my eyes and my heart will be there perpetually. As for you, if you walk before me as your father David walked, in integrity of heart and uprightness, doing according to all that I have commanded you, and will keep my statutes and my ordinances, then I will establish the throne of your kingdom over Israel forever, just as I promised to your father David, saying, You shall not lack a man on the throne of Israel. But if you or your sons shall indeed turn away from following me, and shall not keep my commandments and my statutes, which I have set before you, and shall go and serve other gods and worship them, then I will cut off Israel from the land which I have given them, and the house which I have consecrated for my name. I will cast out of my sight, so Israel will become a proverb and a byword among all peoples. And this house will become a heap of ruins. Everyone who passes by will be astonished and hiss and say, Why has the Lord done thus to this land and to this house? And they will say, Because they forsook the Lord their God, who brought their fathers out of the land of Egypt and adopted other gods and worshiped them and served them. Therefore, the Lord has brought all this adversity on them. And it came about at the end of 20 years in which Solomon had built the two houses, the house of the Lord and the king's house, Hiram, king of Tyre, had supplied Solomon with cedar and cypress, timber, and gold according to all his desire. Then King Solomon gave Hiram 20 cities in the land of Galilee. So Hiram came out from Tyre to see the cities which Solomon had given him, and they did not please him. And he said, What are these cities which you have given me, my brother? So they were called the land of Kabul to this day. And Hiram sent to the king 120 talents of gold. Now this is the account of the forced labor which King Solomon levied to build the house of the Lord, his own house, the Milo, the wall of Jerusalem, Hazor, Megiddo, and Gezer. For Pharaoh, king of Egypt, had gone up and captured Gezer and burnt it with fire and killed the Canaanites who lived in the city and had given it as a dowry to his daughter, Solomon's wife. So Solomon rebuilt Gezer and the lower Beth Horon and Baalath and Tamar in the wilderness in the land of Judah. And all the storage cities which Solomon had, even the cities for his chariots and the cities for his horsemen, and all that pleased Solomon to build in Jerusalem, in Lebanon, and all the land under his rule, and for all the people who were left of the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, who were not of the sons of Israel, their descendants who were left after them in the land whom the sons of Israel were unable to destroy utterly, from then Solomon levied forced laborers even to this day. But Solomon did not make slaves of the sons of Israel, for they were men of war, his servants, his princes, his captains, his chariots, commanders, and his horsemen. These were the chief officers who were over Solomon's work, 550 who ruled over the people doing the work. As soon as Pharaoh's daughter came up from the city of David to her house, which Solomon had built for her, then he built the Milo. Now, three times in a year, Solomon offered burnt offerings and peace offerings on the altar which he built to the Lord, burning incense with them on the altar which was before the Lord. So he finished the house. King Solomon also built a fleet of ships in Ezion-Geber, which is near Eloth, on the shore of the Red Sea in the land of Edom. And Hiram sent his servants with a fleet, sailors who knew the sea, along with the servants of Solomon. And they went to Ophir and took 420 talents of gold from there and brought it to King Solomon. Amen. So if you remember the last time the Lord met with Solomon at Gibeon, it was really significant. That goes all the way back in chapter 3. And remember, the Lord appeared to him in Gibeon, and the Lord said, What do you want? And that's when Solomon said, I want wisdom. And it so pleased the Lord, so that God gave him wisdom and gave him so much more. And so Gibeon is a really special place. So now he's at Gibeon, or it's not Gibeon, but it's that reminder, just like at Gibeon. And so he goes, and now this is another significant vision. If we thought the first encounter with the Lord at Gibeon was significant, and we all do, I mean, this is still talked about, then we need to understand that this encounter is as significant as well. He may not have bestowed wisdom on him like last time, but he really gives a very, very stern warning. And remember, the theme throughout 1st, 2nd Samuel, 1st and 2nd Kings is the king, you know, the ruler and the nation. If they follow God, blessing, prosperity, everything flows. If they don't follow the Lord or keep his commandments, then inevitably there's going to be judgment that falls upon them. It's either you choose this path of life or you choose this path of death. And so unfortunately, in Solomon's case, now that you look at it, this is kind of a prophetic word. And because we know that Solomon, we'll have one really good chapter about Solomon. This is his golden age. And then it goes downhill from there when we get to 11. And then at 12, we see the kingdom gets divided between the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. And it's really sad, actually. And this happens for ages, goes out for the history of Israel. And so this is promise. He finishes the house. And this is the word. The Lord says, if you follow me as your father did, if you stand in integrity, if you follow the commandments, then there'll be rule in your house. It will endure forever. But if you don't, even this beautiful structure. Now, he's talking about 20 years of labor now. I mean, hard labor to build the temple. Remember, 7.5 years. And then to build his house, about 12.5 years or so to that extent. And says, and through all that, and if you don't, then all that you build, all that, even the house of the Lord is going to be set in ruins. And if we know what happens in history, it's actually precisely what happens. And because of their disobedience. And notice what he says. This is verse 8. And this house will become a heap of ruins. Everyone who passes by will be astonished and hiss and say, why has the Lord done thus to this land and to this house? And they will say, because they forsook the Lord their God, who brought their fathers out of the land of Egypt and adopted other gods and worshiped them and served them. Therefore, the Lord has brought all this adversity on them. So the key of understanding this wasn't so much that they disobeyed him, but they started seeking and serving other gods. Now, this is why Solomon particularly gets blamed for this, because he introduced that by marrying these foreign wives. Listen, there's nothing wrong necessarily with marrying foreign wives, per se, except in this context with the Israelites, because God knew as soon as, because, you know, it's, how do I say this? Okay, let me use a woman's word to say this better, okay? In Proverbs 31, it says King Lemuel's mother, so this is mother's advice. He says to her son, do not give your strength to women or your ways which destroy kings. So, okay, a man didn't say that. I didn't say that. A woman said that. Telling advice to his son in Proverbs 31, do not give your strength to women or your ways which destroy kings. That exactly what happened to Solomon. Unfortunately, he gave his ways. And there's nothing wrong with women, all the women here. Praise the Lord, okay? Nothing wrong. I have 3 daughters. You know, I'm married to a woman. That's the only way you get married, by the way. And so all that happens there. And so, but there's something about the volatile relationship between a lustful man and a female that just brings destruction. Okay? Notice, I'm not putting the onus on the woman. I'm putting the onus on the man. You get a lustful man, right, a worldly, earthly man, and with a female, and disaster happens in this regard. And so, unfortunately, when Solomon invites foreign women, and some of it, you could see, was really political. A lot of it was, he was just infatuated, just struck in his heart. And he basically is responsible for introducing people to idols. And then he starts serving them. And in fact, we'll read later on when we get to chapter 11 and so that he actually starts serving the high places. Remember we talked about the high places when I talked about abortion? And Solomon actually starts participating, which is like, What the heck? What happened to this guy? Well, you know what happens is you get 1,000 wives together. That's what's going to happen to any man. You have a little bit of lust, and that lust is carried away, and then you got, you know, wives and 1,000 concubines and all these things. And unfortunately, that's what happens. And the house, exactly like God says, becomes desolate. Now, think about this. Father God is willing to desecrate his own house. That gives us a little clue of understanding how important it is to follow his commandments. You know what I mean? He ain't kidding on this issue. He's willing to even bring shame at some level among the nations, because he says, then they'll come and they'll hiss. They'll look down upon and they'll ridicule and they'll scorn. And he says, and he will endure that because what does he want? He wants obedience. He wants obedience. Now, listen, it's not obedience for obedience sake. He's not just a megalomaniac, just wants control of people. He knows that obedience leads to life. And so really, what he wants from the people is he wants them to live. He wants them to prosper. The way that you're going to prosper is by following his commands. They're life to them. How can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. I've hidden your word in my heart that I may not sin against thee. That's the path to righteousness. It's the path to full living. And he tells him, he says, look, this is what's going to happen. You follow, you obey, blessing, glory, honor, enduring kingdom. All that's there is going to happen. You disobey, you do not seek the Lord, and you chase after other gods, then destruction is going to come upon you. And it's a very, very stern warning. And it's almost as if God is like kind of like a killjoy, you know. They just spent 20 years. And remember, they just had an incredible feast, and everyone went home, and they were like excited, they were pumped up. They sacrificed, 22,000 oxen, 120,000 sheep. I mean, it's an incredible number. And everyone went home, it says, at the end of chapter 8. And it says, on the eighth day, he sent the people away, and they blessed the king, and they all went to their tents joyful and glad of heart for all the goodness the Lord had shown to David, his servant, and to Israel, his people. They're pumped up, man. And then God picks that opportune time to come to Samuel, to appear to Samuel, like he did in chapter 3, appear to him and say, hey, Solomon, this is great. You finished the house. Fantastic. But remember, follow the commandments. Obey the commandments. Because if not, this beautiful structure that you spent 20 years building is going to be laid to ruins. And people will come and hiss. And they'll wonder, why has this happened? And you know why it's going to happen? It's because you did not follow the Lord. They'll say, again, because they forsook the Lord their God. How important it is for us, brothers and sisters, to follow the Lord, to keep his commandments. Not just for the sake of keeping his commandments or obedience, but he says because those things will bring us life in our lives. You guys know, obviously, that you know we've been doing the Experiencing God. There was a time in my own life, and probably many of us, especially you guys, have gone through Experiencing God, that we looked at like discipline, words like obedience, words like submission, and commands. And because in the heart, we're all a bunch of orphans when we start this journey. And because of our orphanness, all those words are really, really negative in our vernacular. And it connotates kind of a negativity. Oh, yeah. Submission, commands, obedience. But there's a chapter in EG where Blackaby starts talking about that. And he really starts digging in. And he says something, and it's a really simple thing, but he just simply says, you know, those commands are to bless us. They're actually there to give us the fullness of what life has to offer. And then he gives an example of adultery. It's actually really great. He says, God has a purpose in marriage. God has created you for somebody, and it's beautiful, and you're going to love each other, and there's going to be intimacy with one another, and then out of that love, you're going to bear children, and they're going to sit on your lap one day and just tell you that they love you, and you're going to be filled with such love for this child that you and your spouse have created. And you know, I mean, it's like this beautiful Norman Rockwell painting, right? And it's this is love. This is a love in the highest. You're going to bring out the best in that person. The other person is going to bring out the best in you. And you're going to be together. And wow, you know, and I mean, who wouldn't want to get married, right? And so he expresses this is God's highest purpose for us in terms of family and these things. And then Blackaby says, and then the Lord says, do not commit adultery. And so the question he asks is that a command to limit you? Or is that a command to bless you? Because then adultery enters in and now the relationship is severed. You know, the high purpose of God that he had for you is severed at that point. Distrust happens. Kids look upon you with suspicion now. You know, in other words, the high purpose of God that he had for you in terms of relationship, he says, look, don't commit adultery. But it happened and now... the very blessed thing that God had for you is severed. And so he goes back to the question, so was that command to limit you or was that command to bless you? Was that command to have you like, you know, walking guilt all the time, or was that command to really have you live out life to the fullest? And you realize, no, it was to live life to the fullest. But because we're so orphans, we look at obedience, command, submission, and we revolt against those things. But God asks us to submit. God asks us to obey. God asks us to follow his commands because God wants the best for our life. He created us. He doesn't have the owner's manual. He is the owner's manual. And so he basically tells us this is how the best use of your life, this is how you do it. And so we need to, in many ways, rewire our thinking and move out of the orphan heart and move into sonship, that we really understand the blessing of obedience and submission, you know, and commandments and all of these things. And so that's his big warning after he finishes this thing. And God's he's not a killjoy, but he's a realist. You know, and he just tells them straight up, he says, man, don't, you know, give yourself to all of this stuff. Beware of this. And then later on, I mean, just as a side note, Hiram and Solomon, they're huge buddies now at this point. And he's so grateful. He comes and he says, man, you know, I'm going to give you these cities, 20 cities before the Lord, but... Now, so he goes and he looks at the land and he says, you know, brother, what is this? And he calls it, and if you look at the language, he calls it Kabul. Now, I was reading this and I wonder, like, if it's the same word that's used for Kabul, you know, in Afghanistan, because the word actually means good for nothing. And so I thought, wow, that's kind of interesting. But now, it wasn't that the land was good for nothing. It was that it wasn't good for him. So Hiram is not like offending Solomon. Tyre, there were sea people. And so this is all very inland land. And so really didn't do anything for him. And so it's not like, I don't want you to get the idea when you read this, like he was so rude to Solomon. He just said, actually, this doesn't suit any purpose for me. You know, it would be like taking a beach bum, you know, a guy that's lived by the ocean his whole life, you know, and then throwing him in the desert. It's like, oh, I'm sorry, you know, even if you give him free land, it's like, well, I don't want it. I want to go back to the beach. And very much similar, this land actually doesn't really do anything for Hiram. And so, you know, we get this account. And then it's just talking about all, you know, how the house was built and whatnot. And then you start seeing the trouble that Solomon gets into because of his Egyptian wife. He needs to go and raise a city. He needs to do all this kind of stuff. And in fact, he ends up gaining a bunch of slaves because of what Pharaoh had done to one of the Canaanite towns. This just kind of starts the whole trouble that he gets himself in politically and all these other things that happen. Okay? So let's close our eyes. Let's meditate. Let's go back to that. When you read those things of commandments, obedience, submission, I mean, honestly, are you excited about that? Or, like most people, I imagine that we have an aversion to. We're going to ask the Holy Spirit today to shift your heart, that you see God's heart behind the commands. It's to bless you. It's actually to save you from heartache and pain. I tell my kids, I ask them to obey, not just because I want obedience, because as an adult, I know that if you do this, it's going to cause you pain. And as an earthly father, I'm able to command my children to a place where I don't want them to get hurt unnecessarily. Now, actually, the Bible says I'm an evil father. We being evil know how to give good gifts to our children. How much more the Heavenly Father, who's in heaven, will give to those who ask. Now, He is our good, good Father. And He says sometimes, don't do this. And He says, obey this. But it's to bless us and protect us. And we will not wholeheartedly obey or submit unless we really grasp and get a revelation of God's heart and that He wants to bless and protect us. And so let's pray this morning as we worship a shift in our heart, that we get a sense of God's heart. We know what His heart is saying, and thus it propels us into obedience and submission.
A thousand stories of love.
Let's pray, We're praying to a good, good Father who's perfect in all of His ways. So when He says, obey me in this, we can understand it's for our benefit. If there's any parts of our heart and our mind that is still has an aversion to obeying, to submitting, let's ask the Lord. Lord, ask Him, Lord, shift my heart. Lord, just break all that orphanness, God, and lead me to sonship. And let's pray this morning. Let's pray for our community, and let's lift up those who are battling through cancer and going through chemotherapy. Let's pray for God's healing word. Pray for our community that are battling illness but also needs to meet with Jesus. And let's pray for physical healing, and let's pray that the Lord will reveal Himself to them. Let's pray for our community that are battling through non-cancer related illnesses, and let's pray for God's healing. Pray for our community that's looking for work, and let's pray for God's open door and for His provision. Let's go to our mission focus, and today let's pray for Japan. Let's lift up our sister, Pastor Sophia. Let's pray the Lord will continue to use her in her new role, the younger church. Let's pray for her language studies will continue to grow. Pray for SP Seoul, for the house church that started there. Pray for Eunsung and Janice, and that they will continue to develop the ministry. Let's lift up Cambodia. Let's pray for Oasis House, Pastor Jenny Oh. Ask the Lord to move over her ministry and just continue to move over this country. Let's pray for these three countries and let's ask the Lord to bless our friends there. Let's pray for our missions council. Let's ask the Lord's hand upon our leaders there that they would really pray and seek God's face and lead us in our missional endeavors as a church. Let's pray for our local outreach ministries. So let's pray for God's hand upon our ministry leaders, our volunteers. Let's pray for wisdom and revelation and just real energy to fulfill His call through these ministries. Let's pray for our gatherings tonight. Pray for SPU, IP, and the Youth Bible Study. Pray for Holy Spirit to lead and guide and really draw every person in these ministries closer to the Lord. Let's pray for House Church tonight, McCain, McDaddy, and McRobinson. Let's pray for Holy Spirit to be with our leaders and our hosts and that people really connect to the Lord and with each other. And just as a last note of prayer, if we could just pray, this is Alpha Weekend, is this weekend, and so it's called Holy Spirit Weekend. And so let's pray, let's really pray that Holy Spirit would come down and touch every person every guest and every volunteer, that the Lord would really show up in a powerful way. Well, let's lift up. Lord, thank you, God. Again, we thank you for the reminder, Lord God, that, Lord, blessing, prosperity, joy flows when we obey you, God. Lord, when we turn away, Father God, we open ourselves up to destruction, Father. And I pray, God, that Lord, we would have a shift, God, in our thinking, in our attitude, Lord, when we see words like obedience and submission, God, and commitment, Father. Help us, God. Or break us out of our orphanness, Lord, and lead us into sonship. God, knowing, Lord, that you're a good, good Father, God. And because you're so good and you're perfect in all your ways, Lord, we can obey you wholeheartedly. We can surrender to you, God. We can submit to you, Lord. Because we know that as a good Father, God, you have your kids' best interests at mind. And so we thank you. Lord, release that understanding to us, God. And watch over us. This weekend, God, be with Alpha this weekend, and we just give you all of our services, all our meetings. Come, Lord Jesus, and be glorified in the midst of it, God. We thank you, Lord. We love you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time, and we'll see you guys over the weekend.